Isaiah has been referred to by many as the evangelical prophet. He was also reckoned to be one of the greatest ever prophets in the land of Israel. He reigned and he was carrying out his ministry during the times when Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and Uzziah were all upon the throne of Israel. Now, Isaiah's prophecy contains 66 books or 66 chapters. The first 39 chapters are full of judgment upon the city of Judah and the surrounding nations. But the next 27 chapters are full of messages of hope and of grace and of mercy from God. You take the prophecy of Isaiah, there are more quotations and testimonies from it in the New Testament than from any other prophecy in the Old Testament scriptures. Its most well-known chapter, of course, would be the 53rd chapter, which speaks of the sufferings of the Messiah who would come and die for his people's sins. That 53rd chapter, it brings to your eyes and to the scene before us the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. We read those words, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." This prophecy, it was written some 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, and thus, taking that to be the case, 2,700 years or thereabouts before this meeting tonight. But dear unsaved in this meeting, I want you to understand that though these words, this prophecy of Isaiah, is some 2,700 years old, what a word from God to your soul right now. What a word from God to your soul, yea, 2,700 years after it was written. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. These things are written for our profit. And therefore, dear unsaved in this meeting, I want to leave these words, yea, hundreds of years old, and yet bang up to date. God says to your heart tonight in this meeting, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." It's a word from heaven to earth. It's a word from God to the sinner. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." I want to speak on a message that I have entitled, "A Message from God to the People of Earth." And that includes every unsaved soul in this meeting. We thank you for coming. We're glad you're here. But dear friend, you could do well just to forget all about the preacher. You could do well just to forget about everybody sitting beside you. You're before God. There's a day coming in your future where you will meet God. Oh, understand that. Just before we really get into this, everyone in this meeting meets God. Some will meet him as Savior. Some will meet him as Judge. But sinner, in this meeting, God brings a word right now to your heart. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." That's the text I want to look at with you tonight, the 22nd verse of the 45th chapter of Isaiah. The first thing I want to show you in this text is the fact that God here is addressing the sinners of earth. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." All the ends of the earth. Now, in that little phrase there, we see declared so clearly the universal nature of sin. Wherever there's a human heart, you will find a sinful heart. Oh, dear people, understand this tonight. You may be in a land, and this world has lands, even right now, tonight, with little money. You may be in a land with no food. You may see people with no health and no wealth, but I am saying to you, God reveals in this book, you will never go into a land where you will not find sin. Because where you have a human heart, you have a sinful heart. That's what God says here. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, because all the ends of the earth need saved. Sin is a universal problem. I don't care what country you go to. I don't care the color of the skin. I don't care about the economics of that country, or whether it's a wealthy, prosperous nation or land, or whether they live in extreme poverty. That is material matters. But you will never go into a land where there's no sin. Sin is universal. Sin is all around. And God addresses here the nations of the earth when he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And all the ends of the earth, as I have said, includes you. Without Christ. Sitting again in the gospel meeting. We live in a fallen world. We've seen the outworking of sin and wickedness this week in our world. We've watched our screens with horror as we have seen what goes on in the lands of the world. Sin flows from a heart. Sin flows from a heart that is desperately wicked. That's what the Lord says. Christ himself said, out of the heart of man flows all types of sin, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, blasphemies, covetousness. It all flows out of the heart of man, because, dear sinner friend, understand that before any sin was ever committed publicly, it took place in the heart. That's where sin originates. We are sinners by nature. We're sinners by birth. We are sinners by practice. Sin that's a breaking of the holy law of God. Sin that's against God and man. Sin that is an act of high treason against the Almighty. Dear sinner friend, in this meeting, again let me say this. You are a member of a fallen race living in a fallen world, but you are all the same with us, journeying to eternity. That's where you're heading. You're alive in this meeting tonight. You are alive forevermore. Nobody goes out of extinction or out of existence. We change our abode. You're alive and you're alive forevermore. We all understand when a child's born into a family, what happiness it brings. What joy it brings to us all, the little one. But here are people understand this. That little one that's born is a living soul. And that soul is alive forevermore. Nobody goes out of existence. There is no such thing as the annihilation of the soul. Unsaved friend in this meeting, you will live forever. You live forever in God's heaven, or you live forever in God's hell. But you will live forever. Nobody goes out of existence. You take the first family ever on earth. You take the first two brothers. Abel tonight lives in heaven. Cain tonight lives in hell. Alive forevermore. Nobody goes out of existence. And dear unsaved in this meeting, God addresses you therefore as the one that you will meet, and he says, look unto me and be you saved. You're in your sin. You're in your sin before God. That sin that was born in your heart. Yeah, let me repeat that. That sin that flowed from your heart, your lifestyle, is the outworking. It's a revelation of what's in your heart. Understand that. before Bathsheba. Think of that dark day in David's life. Before Bathsheba was ever in David's palace, Bathsheba was in David's heart. And what was in the heart first was sin in what took place. Sin. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by practice. And unto such God says, look unto me and be ye saved. Saved from the power of sin. Saved from the penalty of sin. Dear people, understand this. You need to be saved from your sin. We've just left the Christmas season. Lovely time of year. What was it all about? Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Christmas, may I say, the birth of Jesus Christ was not an excuse for men to go out and get drunk. It was the reason that men would no longer get drunk. And the devil takes such a season of the incarnation of our Lord when he came to save sinners and turns it into, in many cases, a drunken party. Why did he come? He came to save his people from their sins. And Isaiah says to you tonight, unsaved friend in this meeting, you need to be saved from your sins, because you're going to meet God on the subject of your sin, and you're going to live forever. You're not going out of existence. You are going to change your abode. You'll either go to heaven or you'll go to hell. There is nothing more solemn than a gospel meeting. We deal with things that concern the soul, concern your eternal whereabouts, concern will you be saved or lost. There is nothing more solemn than a gospel meeting. Nothing. Those that God addresses, the sinner. Let me show you, secondly, the sinner's deception. Look at verse number 20 with me. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Underline those two words, cannot save. Here were a people who were caught up in the awful sin of idolatry, and God says, putting up their images, praying to them, and God save, they cannot save. The gods of the idols cannot save. Now, I remember what I said at the outset. This was written 2,700 years ago. But how up to date? Because in cold rain this morning, as in Ballymena this morning, dear souls went to places of worship, so called. And they bowed before their idols. And they prayed before their idols. And they went through some sort of ritual to try and find the forgiveness of sins. And they left those places of worship as far from God, if not further than when they went in. Horrific! Those people that you work with, dear Roman Catholic souls, all around us in our country, go into houses of worship, bow before idols, the work of men's hands, and God tells us here, they can't save. They can't save. They were looking in the wrong place. They were looking in the wrong place, God says in Isaiah's day. And dear people, they're looking in the wrong place today, and the Lord comes in them with this word in verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved. The idol can't save, the false gods can't save, the false religion can't save, but the Lord comes in with this word, look unto me and be ye saved, because all along you've been looking in the wrong place. Now, Maybe you say, very good preacher. But I never bowed to an idol in my life. Well, that's good. But are you saved? You see, you maybe never bowed to an idol. Maybe the very thought of it in your mind would be absolutely abhorrent. But God says to some tonight across the free church and probably in this meeting, you're looking in the wrong place for salvation. What do I mean? What are you depending on? What are you depending on to get to heaven? You see, you could be deceived looking in the wrong place and never literally have bowed to an idol. Deceived into thinking, I go to the free. Deceived into thinking, I do my best. You might as well bow to an idol. Not get you one drop, not one step nearer heaven will that get you. Dear friend, salvation is not in the free. Salvation is in Christ. And if you're depending on free Presbyterianism, you're damned. You're damned. Salvation is not in any church or religion. It's in Christ. And to you, sinner friend, tonight, God says, look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto me and be ye saved. All ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. The sinner's deception, they were looking in the wrong place. Sinner, don't look in the wrong place. Don't go wrong in this. I remember reading Martin Lloyd-Jones one night. And he said this in The Forgiveness of Sins. He said, there are things in life you can go wrong on and it's not the end of the world. You can try again. You go wrong in the forgiveness of your sins. You've lost your soul. Can't afford to go wrong here. You've lost your soul. We're dealing with things of eternity. We're dealing with where you'll be in God's eternity. Everyone in this meeting is journeying to God's eternity. Thirdly, the sinner's invitation. Look at verse 22 again. Look unto me and be ye saved. It's the look of faith. Look not to religion. Look not to the sacrament. Look not to the church. But look to a person. What the Lord is calling you here tonight, sinner, to do is look to Christ for the remedy for sin, for the forgiveness of that sin, for peace with God. It's the call of God to the sinner. It's a gracious call because it's the offended party calling the offender. It's the call of heaven to earth, of God to the sinner. But dear people, understand this. It's an urgent call. You think what God said right through his servant here in Isaiah chapter 1. He said, come now, let's reason together. And you will never find that God says anywhere in this book, put it off. He says, come now. Look unto me now and be ye saved. Why? Because preacher included isn't guaranteed to go out through those doors. It's urgent. It's gracious. We don't deserve it. But sinner friend in this meeting,
Tonight, you've got to address this. I said at the outset, forget about the preacher. Just forget all about me. The book of God's opened. God addresses the gathering through the stumbling words of preachers. But His truth addresses you. And He calls upon you tonight to repent and believe the gospel and look unto Him and be saved. Saved from sin, saved from its penalty, saved from its power. To this moment in time, you haven't looked to Christ. You've looked everywhere else. But dear people, understand this. Dear people, understand this right now. Sooner or later, you're not going to be able to look to Christ. It'll be too late. You see, the devil will say, put it off. Think about it a wee bit longer. Well, you know, you don't really want to rush into this. It's a big decision. Affects the family, affects the work, affects all that. It certainly will. But you understand this. The devil will keep saying that to you till you run out of time. You think of what it says in Revelation 20, describing there those that have lost their souls, describing that scene where the devil's cast into the lake of fire. And what does it say? It says this, and the devil that deceived them. Who's in view there? In that word, them. Everybody that lost their soul. Deceived into putting it off. Deceived into waiting just a little longer and they ran out of time. The Holy Ghost leads John to write, the devil that deceived them. And listen, when John wrote it, multitudes were already there, lost. The devil that deceived them. God says to you tonight, sinner friend, in this gracious, urgent invitation, look unto me and be ye saved. Here you see the sinner Savior. You see the gospel invitation, it always leads to the Christ of the gospel. It always leads the sinner from his sin to a Savior, from his sin to cleansing blood. That is the gospel. Look unto me. What a word of direction. Sinner, God is addressing you. Because you'll never be saved if you don't look to Christ. You'll never be saved. Look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Listen, for I am God and there is none else. And what that tells you is this. If Christ doesn't save you, you can't be saved. Because there is no other Savior. That's exactly what he's saying. The gospel's exclusive. Remember one day I was preaching in Aberdeen in a big pedestrian area outside Marks and Spencer's off Union Street. And there was this man standing across and he seemed to be listening. And he was just off the boat. See, the boat had come in, his boat, whatever ship he was on, had come in and docked and he had come into the city. And he was standing listening to me. And after I finished preaching, I went over to him and said, I saw you listening. He said, yeah, I was listening to you. I said, do you ever think about your soul's salvation? Do you ever think about heaven? How you're going to get there? Oh, he says, yeah, I do think about heaven. I says, do you think you're going to go to heaven? Yeah. I says, do you mind if I ask you, what you base that on?
Well, he says, I base it on this. And he pointed across at this, there was this great granite, large piece of granite. And he pointed across at it. And he said, say for example, that's heaven. Well, he said, you shall come in from this direction. We'll come in from that direction. Others will come in from that direction. Some will come in from another direction. But we'll all get there.
I said, massive problem with that.
I looked up and nearly shocked. He said, what's the massive problem?
I says, the massive problem is the Bible rules that out. The gospel's exclusive. Christ's the way to heaven. Anybody that ever entered heaven entered it through Christ and in him. And anybody that ever hopes to get into heaven without Christ won't ever be in heaven. And that includes you, dear sinner friend, in this meeting. Christ said, I am the way. And in saying, I am the way, he ruled out every other way. And sinner friend, listen to me now. If you don't enter heaven at the moment you die, you won't ever enter heaven. There's no opportunity after it. If death doesn't usher you into the presence of God, into that place prepared for those that love him, I tell you, you'll never be ushered into it. You'll meet him at the judgment. You'll meet him at the judgment.
Look with me what it says at the end of verse 21. Let's read the verse. Tell ye and bring them near. Ye let them take counsel together. Who have declared this from ancient time? Who have told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God. And a Savior. There is none beside me. There isn't any other way. There isn't any other way. And remember who the Lord's addressing here. He's addressing those that had been looking in the wrong place. They'd been setting up their idols. They'd been bowing to them. God says they can't see it. And in light of it, God says, and he says to you tonight, look unto me. See the unchangeable nature of the gospel. There has only ever been one way to be saved since Adam. Faith in Christ. 2,700 years ago, God told them there is no other Savior. 2,700 years later, he's still telling us there's no other Savior. Oh, I understand many things in the world have moved on. The gospel hasn't. Adam was saved by looking by faith to Christ, and sinner, if you're to be saved, so will you. Because there is no other Savior. You think of what Peter did there in Acts 10. Went to the house of Cornelius. Went to preach to the first Gentile congregation. And he said this to them, speaking of Jesus Christ, to him gave all the prophets witness.
that whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sins. What was Peter telling them? He was telling that Gentile congregation that the message he brought to them of salvation in Jesus Christ, of forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, was the message that the Old Testament prophets had preached for centuries. Sinner, friend, thank you for coming to this meeting. But it's Christ you need. Because there is no other Savior. You say, preacher, I know what you're saying, but I don't want Christ. Horrific statement. I pray to God, God doesn't take you up on it. But you've sealed your doom. You need Christ. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God. Christ was God. He was the God-man. The children here could tell us what the catechism says, two distinct natures, one person forever. As God, Christ satisfied for sin. As man, he suffered for sin. Therefore, sinner, understand this. All you need to save you, to prepare you for heaven, it's found in Christ. There's a perfect life to cover your guilt. He gave that obedience to the law that you and I haven't given, that you and I can't give. He gave it for sinners. And then he paid the penalty of that broken law at the cross, shedding his holy blood, that blood that will wash away your sin. Oh yes, understand this. The manger was always leading to Calvary. And every step and every moment from that manger to Calvary, Christ lived it for sinners. Obedience to cover your guilt. Blood to wash away your sin. Sinner, you can be saved right now. You say, preacher, you don't know my sin. I don't need to know your sin. Your sin is none of my business. Your sin is between you and God Almighty. And it's nobody else's business for that matter. But the Bible tells you tonight, look unto Christ, be ye saved, because his blood will cleanse you from all your sin. Right now, in this gospel meeting, look unto me, be ye saved. All ye ends of the earth, what's the Lord saying? All types of sinners in all types of places can be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Christ himself re-echoed this at the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And those gospel preachers took the simple message of the gospel, and the Bible tells us they turned the world upside down. That's what they did. God moved. God saved. And ever since, God has been populating heaven with sinners saved by grace. Yeah. Every day. Sinners who in time came to faith in Christ enter the celestial city through Jesus Christ their Lord. The sinner's promise. Look unto me and be ye saved. What the Lord's telling you tonight is this, friend. You look to him tonight, you'll be saved tonight. You look to him tonight, this night you'll know the joy of sins forgiven. You'll find peace with God through the blood of the cross. And right now, tonight, you will begin a journey to heaven. And that's where it'll end. The celestial city. The word saved here, it means made and kept, sound and safe. That's what Christ does for the sinner. He makes them and he keeps them sound and safe, not only in time, but forevermore. But sinner, what are you going to do tonight? Let me repeat, forget about the preacher. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Let me repeat, friend, I don't need to know what you've done. I know what I've done. That's quite enough for me. But I know that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you tonight from all your sin. And in a moment of time, you can be forgiven for all your sin. What is it to be forgiven? I'll tell you what it is. You can go home tonight, forgiven all your sins, put your head on the pillow, close your eyes and go to sleep, and know of assurance if you don't wake up, it's okay, I'm forgiven. I tell you, there's nothing like it. If I don't wake up, it's okay. I'm forgiven. I'm ready. I'm ready to change my abode. I'm ready to go to heaven. Look unto me. Be ye saved. All the ends of the earth. For I am God. There is none else. Remember one day going to see somebody in a hospital bed. Man on in years. He's now with Christ. Went into him and spoke to him about his soul. Turned to him to that verse in 1 John 1 that I've quoted in this meeting. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. That's the word I concentrated on, all. I said, sir, God means what he says, and he says what he means. All sin goes beneath the blood of Christ. It doesn't say all but the bad ones, because it's all bad. Cleanses from all sin. And that night, that man found peace with God through the blood of the cross, forgiven all his sin. And some time ago, hope gave way to sight. He entered in to see the King in all his beauty. He was ready to change his abode. I'm closing. Are you ready? I know some of you are. Thank God. I know I can speak for the Reverend Roger Higginson in the session here. They would to God you were all ready. Their prayer to God for you is that you'll be saved. Well, here's how you do it. God says, look unto me. Be ye saved. Because there is all that you need to save your soul in Jesus Christ. And what's more, you have his invitation right now. Come. Come. Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you take that step? I would fully expect at this moment a battle to be raging in your soul. I would fully expect, dear unsaved friend, that heart of yours to be beating rapidly at this moment. But let me say this. Every thought in your mind right now that tells you to put this off and not to come to Christ tonight is from Lucifer. That's it diagnosed. Christ says, come. Satan says, don't. Christ says, come now. You may never see the dawn of another day. Satan says, you might, you'll be all right. Christ says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Satan says, you're healthy enough, you'll be fine. Satan's a liar from the beginning. God says, come now. Be saved. Seek him with all your heart. And I tell you, you can leave this meeting. Go home. And begin a journey right now. That'll climax through the gates of the New Jerusalem. That's the gospel. You're born in sin. We all were. You need not die in it. You can die in Christ. And go to be with Christ. Because there only are two ways really to die. In Christ. Or apart from Christ. If I never preach here again. And never see you again. I pray to God you to die in Christ. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. And while every head is bowed and the Lord's people are praying, again, let me say, dear unsaved friend, thank you for coming. You couldn't be in a better place tonight. We know what it's like to have sat in gospel meetings unsaved. You say, preacher, I'm troubled. Oh, friend, see what that is. It's the Holy Ghost lovingly drawing you to Christ that you might be saved. Come tonight. Lift your heart right now in that pew where you sit and ask God to save you. And by His grace from this moment live for Him. I tell you, He'll save you in a moment of time. Young person, older person. A couple of moments, I'll be at the door. We're not going to have a closing hymn. You just say to me there, I would like to speak to you. Be an absolute honor to take time and point you to Christ. Speak to one of the elders. Settle it tonight. Settle your eternal abode tonight. Man, woman, young person, don't lose your soul. But take the words of the text, look unto me. Be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Father, take thy word, take what's been of thee, apply it savingly to every heart that needs it. Take what's been of the preacher and let it just fall to the ground. It's worthless. But O God, give deciding grace. Bind Satan and the powers of darkness in these moments as they seek to hinder the soul coming to the Savior. O God Almighty, give deciding grace. Hear prayer tonight. And then in Christ and through Him, may we all be gathered home into that celestial city whose builder and maker is God. And until that day, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, be with all who know and love the Savior tonight and forever. Amen.